Welcome to the REI Mastermind Network, where host Jack Haas gathers amazing stories from leaders in real estate investing. In each episode, our guests will tell you what they're doing that works, what they've tried that failed, and best of all, you'll learn actionable steps to take your real estate investing to the next level. Now, here's Jack with another value-packed episode.
Adam Rosen joins me here today. And to learn what Adam is up to, head over to echoworks.com. And you can even book a meeting with Adam at his Calendly link. If you're on my YouTube channel, you'll see that there. Otherwise, you're going to find that in the description in our YouTube, or the show notes. But Adam, I really appreciate it. We're going to be talking about how to leverage AI, and that's the buzzword of the year, AI in your real estate investing, in your email outreach. So thanks for joining me here today.
No, Jack, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So Adam, we were talking about how you kind of fell into, or kind of found your way into this, the AI game, but it sounds like you started in land investing.
Yeah, that was actually probably part two of my career. So I started my first company right out of college. So I had did a one-year MBA program and started my first company about 3 weeks before I graduated. I had that tech startup for about 5 years. I sold it back in 2019. So in that tech startup, the one thing we always did exceptionally well was getting a lot of big brands as customers. Think like Bank of America, Amazon, Apple, Goldman Sachs, CBRE, relevant to this audience. And we got them all through cold outreach. So that's how I got into kind of the AI and cold email world. But when I sold that company, part of what I did next was I started to advise a lot of startups and small businesses, but I also got involved in real estate. So my co-founder in that previous startup, he grew up in the land development world. So he was buying property, buying land, subdividing it, selling it. So I had an opportunity to get involved with a few projects in the Northeast. And that was my introduction to real estate. So I did that for a few years, sold several million dollars of land development projects. And then I founded email outreach company, so eocworks.com, now about 2.5 years ago now, where we're a full service lead generation agency. We do cold email outreach, LinkedIn outreach. We build out newsletters for our customers, from tech startups to very large real estate firms, with the whole goal of getting our customers on more sales appointments. And again, we do it through cold outreach.
So, you know, that's kind of a hot issue right now, especially with some of the changes that I saw Google and a few other places are doing. Can you kind of give everybody a little heads up of why they would possibly need a service or consider a service such as yours? Because I would imagine that it isn't as easy of a process as people think.
No, like I talk a lot about the old days of cold email. And when I talk about the old days of cold email, I'm not talking about 2015 when I was cold emailing. I'm talking about June of 2023. So less than a year ago now, as the old days. Because in the old days, you could get away with creating like one domain that you email from, a few email addresses that you're sending emails from. And as long as you're doing certain things like warming up your inbox properly, writing good copy, monitoring the inbox well, you could stay out of spam. Now, because of things like AI, because of this big acquisition between Google Domains and Squarespace that happened back in September of 2023, the cold email world has changed so much where if you are not an expert, it's almost impossible to get any results through cold email. So now more than ever, you have to follow A through Z. If you don't do that, it's going to be very difficult to get any results through email.
Yep. Well, I'm experiencing that actually with even phone calling and text messaging too, that A2P requirements associated with that can be unwieldy, to say the least, unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to calling and when it comes to text messaging too, there's more regulation on that than there is an email. But the problem with email can be, like you mentioned, Google and Yahoo being two of the biggest ones, they put these increased spam technology to try to make sure that our inboxes are filled with more relevant messages. So it's still possible to get results through cold email. I see it in my Slack channel every day where we have all of our meetings we're booking for our clients. I see it on my own calendar where I'm booking meetings for myself. However, if you don't do everything right, again, it's very, very, very difficult to get any results, mainly because you're just probably going right into spam.
Well, give us some of that low-hanging fruit. What are some of the basics that somebody could possibly do on their own to help with their reach rate?
One is you have to set up the sending infrastructure properly. As I mentioned earlier, in the old days, you could get away with creating one domain And when I mean domain, what I mean is my main email address, I'm sorry, my main website is eocworks.com. Our sending domain, where we send our mass emails from, is not eocworks.com. So it would be something like tryeocworks.com, something along those lines. Now, in the old days, again, we could just create tryeocworks.com, create a handful of emails that look like they're coming from me, and boom, we're good to go. Now, when we work with our customers, we're creating, on the low end, 10 to 20 domains. On the higher end, sometimes 50, 60, or 70 domains we're sending from. In terms of email accounts, so individual email accounts we're sending from, we're sending on the low end from 30, 40, 50 email accounts. On the high end, we're sending from 100, 150, 200 email accounts that we're sending from, because you have to balance out your sending now. You can no longer send, you know, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 emails a day per inbox. You're just going straight into spam. So you have to balance that out. And then there's things like, are you setting up your registration stickers on your domain? Things like your DKIM, your DMARC, your SPF. 80% of domains are not set up properly. So if you don't have your registration sticker, Google and Yahoo, among others, are going to send you right into spam. So that's number one, is your sending infrastructure has to be set up properly.
So when you say registration sticker, is that something, some of those things, is that something a person could learn through a YouTube video or two, or is that something a little more complex? Because sometimes people are a little leery of touching those domains.
Yeah, no, like it's something where you can learn it, and it's not the most complex thing in the world. It's just one of those things that we've seen that most people just don't want to do. It's like this work that nobody wants to do. Like, we're all busy. The last thing you want to do is to try to figure out how to set up your DMARC, your DKIM, and SPF. Those are the types of things where you're like, I'll do it tomorrow. And then just tomorrow turns into 2 months. 2 months later, you're like, I'm just going to keep putting this to the side. We have a mastermind, aside from our full service, where we just book meetings, where we would teach people everything they need to do, from setting up their domains to booking a meeting and everything in between. But the biggest gap we saw was most people weren't even getting started because of just the basics of setting up the domains and the emails. So we created a new opportunity where basically we set up the whole sending infrastructure for our customers, our DIY or do-it-yourself customers, so that they can just get that done for them. Because we saw once that's done, the rest is not that complicated. The rest is also a little bit more enjoyable. Like, you're booking meetings, that's more enjoyable than setting up a DMARC, a DKIM, an SPF. So to answer your question a long-winded way, no, it's not the most complicated thing in the world, but we saw that almost nobody was doing it because it's the type of work that just none of us want to do.
You mentioned, you know, we're all busy and a lot of people don't want to do this type of work or learn how to do it. And that's kind of understandable. In fact, I say it quite often here, you know, we have to kind of learn what we need to focus on. I mean, I'm better suited talking to distressed sellers and people like that over trying to spend hours to do what you're suggesting regarding the domain, writing those emails, doing that type of thing. How have you found, I'm sure a big chunk of what you have to do then is education. A lot of people are thinking that some of this could possibly be easy. What are some of those misconceptions that people have regarding this type of outreach?
Number one, it's just that cold email doesn't work. Like, for most people, cold email doesn't work. But that's not because the tool doesn't work. It's because people think they underestimate how to do cold email. What I found is that because all of us email all day, every day, we think we know how to cold email. We think we know, oh, I know how to email. And if it doesn't work, it's not my fault. It's just because email doesn't work. And cold email does have a bad connotation to it. We all know, like, we a lot of us look at it and we say, oh, that's ugly. This is spam. It doesn't work. I don't want to do this. Yet we don't care about, like, when I was working on real estate projects, I would do a lot of Facebook ads. And a lot of times it's me on the property, videotaping myself, showing the property. And there was a lot of people that would have nice comments. There were also a lot of people that said some of the nastiest stuff to me. Like, I had one guy who said, hey, I hope you get COVID and die. Like, it was a pretty dark thing he said. And he ended up being a fine guy. Like, I ended up messaging him and we had like a nice back and forth. And I always take like the route of just, I'd rather be kind to the person because you never know what they're going through. And by the end of the conversation, it's like, hey, you're not a bad guy. I actually would love to grab a beer with you at some point. And like, the reality is, every marketing medium, I bring that up because every marketing medium, there's like the ugly of it. Whether you have a billboard, a Facebook ad, a Spotify ad, a mailer that you send, a cold email, you're going to have people that aren't happy with it. But with cold email, it can work and it should work for you. But again, you have to do A through Z correctly at this point, or it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when you bring that up. I just had a conversation with somebody else, a similar situation. And, you know, they'll call, they'll tell you to F off. They'll call you every name in the world. In the end, they're asking you to remove them from your list. However, I still call those people back when they do, just to apologize for causing such an offense. And I would say 1 out of 10 leads to a conversation. And then you kind of uncover the fact that they were reacting to some other situation, and you just happened to be something that they could respond to or something they could react to. And it is a rare thing, but there has been times where I've bought houses because I've called those individuals back.
Jack, you're spot on. I mean, like, just, we don't know what's going on in someone else's life. Like, their husband might've got mad at them. Their wife might've got mad. Their kids are sick. You don't know what's going on in someone else's life. And sometimes, especially when it's through a computer screen, I mean, we see it all the time. Go on any celebrity, any professional athlete's Instagram account, and you're going to see some of the worst stuff people are saying. But in real life, very rarely is anyone going to say anything like that. So I always try to think, like, just take what they say with a grain of salt. It rarely has something to do with you. And the best we could do as marketers, period. I don't care if you're doing cold email, sending a mailer, calling, LinkedIn, whatever it is. The best we can do is be a professional in our craft. As long as we feel good about the message we're sending, as long as we stop reaching out when they tell us to stop reaching out, as long as we're being a professional and we're doing the best we can, we have nothing to worry about. You can't control what somebody else is going through and their actions that they take towards us.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned that we're all busy and we're always looking for that easy button, and especially in real estate investing. So now you hit the buzzword, AI, and I'm sure everybody is thinking that this is that easy button, that everybody, you can just turn that on, right? It's, you just have to pay that monthly subscription to ChatGPT, and all is right in the world.
Yeah, there's an interesting quote which basically says, like, AI won't replace humans, but humans with AI will replace humans without AI. So, like, the bottom line is, for anybody listening to this, whether we're the most tech savvy people or the least tech savvy people, AI should be a tool in our toolkit to create more efficiency and to create more results for us. Now, with that said, though, Jack, to your point, is AI also makes it so that we can cut corners. It makes it easy for us to go into ChatGPT and say, hey, do this thing for me. And usually with ChatGPT, if we give it bad input, is the output is not going to be good. So, like, there's people that are using ChatGPT 3.5 right now. For anybody listening to this, if you are using ChatGPT 3.5, please invest the $20 a month and buy ChatGPT 4. ChatGPT 3.5 versus 4 is like a second grader versus a PhD student. It's a stark difference. So that's a basic thing. Then number two is, how are we prompting ChatGPT? If you, and I recently spoke at a conference in Hawaii. I was living in Hawaii for about 3 or 4 months, about a month or two ago. And I was speaking at a conference on AI and marketing. And one of the things I showed is, if I just go to ChatGPT 3.5 and I say, hey, write me this cold email, versus ChatGPT 4 versus my prompt that we wrote as a company of how to write an effective cold email, the difference is stark. 3.5 was a terrible email. ChatGPT 4 also was a terrible email. ChatGPT 4 using our prompt, high quality email. Obviously, I'm biased, but it's a much different email. And the reason why is because most people just will go into ChatGPT 4 and say, hey, I am a real estate investor. I'm reaching out to homeowners to try to buy their properties. Write me a cold email. The email ChatGPT 4 is going to write is going to be horrible. It's probably going to start with something like, hi, I hope this email finds you well. Never start an email like that when it's a cold email. Valuable real estate, no pun intended, don't use it there. It's probably going to say, I can supercharge your something. Supercharge is an AI buzzy word. Don't use it. It's probably going to be way, way, way too long. ChatGPT 4 is not good if we don't prompt it well. Everything about AI is how well we prompt it. If we know how to prompt ChatGPT, we're going to get good results. If we don't know how to prompt it, it's not good. If we just look at prompts, and what a prompt is basically what we're telling ChatGPT to do, it's like giving instructions. If we give good instructions to anybody, the results should be good. If we give bad instruction, the results are going to be bad. So we don't want to use ChatGPT as a crutch and as a shortcut. Like anything, what you give is what you get. So we have to give ChatGPT high quality, or any AI high quality, if we want to receive high quality in return.
So you have offered everybody a chance to get this prompt. right? How would they go about that, and what should they do in order to check this out?
Yeah, we can either put in the show notes, or if anybody emails me at adam@eocworks.com, just let me know you came from here, and I'll make sure I send it over to you. It's completely free.
Okay. Because that's kind of starting to open up a whole new economy too. Like, people are selling their prompts. I've seen that lately.
Yeah, for sure. There's it like the ChatGPT store. It's kind of like the App Store, you know, in the early days. And for us, like, we create a lot of GPTs, some of which are external facing, like this email writing prompt that we have. Other of which are completely internal. We use for efficiency. Our team knows how to use. Yeah, ChatGPTs are so important for us because it's an efficiency tool. And as we all know, being business owners, business leaders, efficiency is critical. So yeah, if anyone wants to learn a valuable skill, learn how to create GPTs. It's even if you don't make a dollar off it externally, as an internal tool, it's valuable.
So eocworks.com for Adam's website. And then Adam, can you give us your email address one more time?
Yep. It's just adam@eocworks.com.
So take advantage of what Adam is offering there, because I think that's a very unique opportunity. You've mentioned that this can be a shortcut. Have you compared this to some of the other AIs that are available right now, whether it's X has Grok, and I think Google just changed theirs to Gemini, if memory serves me. Have you experienced or tried any of the others?
Yeah, we've tried them. We still like ChatGPT the best. But yeah, I mean, we use a lot of different AI tools. Like, there's one interesting one, and if anyone goes to my LinkedIn, you'll be able to see this. I had a previous post about this. There's a tool called HeyGen. And at the conference I was speaking at, in Hawaii, I created a video before the conference. And it's an AI version of me. So just picture basically me holding a phone in front of me and just recording myself talking for 2 minutes about anything. It doesn't matter what I'm talking about. It's just important that there's a video of me and how I speak. And then I wrote what I wanted me to say, my AI version of me to say. And I had, you know, a 30-second speech basically that I had myself say, which I never said in real life. I played it at the conference, and you could tell there are some robotic ticks that happen, but it's very, very similar. Like, if you just were watching it and weren't paying attention to every little detail, you would probably think it's me. And the reason why I bring that up here is, one, maybe that's a tool that you guys can use. If you go to HeyGen, I think it's HeyGen.ai, maybe that's a tool you could use. But just to see where AI is today in early 2024, which is still probably like the bottom of the first inning, if you think about a 9-inning baseball game, like, it's the way beginning of the game, and AI is already this good. If we don't learn it, we're going to be setting ourselves so far back.
So what are some of the biggest misnomers, though? Like, I think everybody has really crazy expectations regarding AI and where it is. Like you said, we're really in early stages. We're actually dealing with large language models that are typically predicting the next word, really. It's almost an elaborate if-then type statement that we're feeding into this, and that's why we need decent prompts. So I think expectations are just a little out of whack.
Yeah, I think the one thing that brings me center, because look, AI can be a scary thing. We see where it is today and we think about, whoa, what's it going to look like in 2030, in 2040, in 2050? Because it is a scary thing. The one thing that does bring me center, though, is I feel like these have been fears we've had for a long time. You know, I'm not just talking the last 10 years or 20 years, I'm talking hundreds of years or thousands of years. Like, even when we think about technology being built and the internet being built, like, I feel like it's always been, oh my God, the internet's going to take over the world and it's going to destroy it. Computers are going to take over the world. Social, in some ways, maybe it did. Yeah. So maybe, I guess they're right. But there is definitely that fear of it. And that's where I think, just as humans, we have to check ourselves and our own morality and what do we feel good about. But that's probably a separate conversation.
So where do you think this is heading? Like, it's evolving so quickly. I'm not going to tell you to tell me what you see in 10 years. Let's just focus on the rest of 2024. What do you think are going to be some of the changes we see?
Well, I think some of the changes is there's going to be a greater emphasis on understanding what is real and what is fake and deciphering the two, because I think that's probably the biggest problem that we currently face when it comes to AI is what is real and what is fake. whether it's someone mimicking your voice and doing a spam robocall to try to get money because they say that they have your daughter, to cold email that's just completely done through AI, whether it's writing books completely through AI, whether it's videos like the one I was talking about earlier, that's completely through AI. I think there's going to be a greater emphasis on understanding what is real and what is fake, because again, it's still the beginning. It's only going to get more complex. It's only going to get more real. It's going to get more real feeling, where I think there's going to be a greater emphasis on the human side of AI as well, because we don't want to go too deep down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about what are some of the email campaigns and the like that you don't even have to focus on the AI? In the end goal, what are you trying to do in hopes to help the real estate investors?
Yeah, what we all want as business owners, salespeople, real estate investors, you name it, is to get in contact and to have a conversation with a potential buyer, right? Like all email is, just like all cold calling is, just like all a billboard is. The whole point is to connect person A to person B. And that's what email should be a tool for. So like with real estate companies specifically that we work with, I'm sure a lot of your listeners, they probably do a lot of Facebook ads. I know I did. And you would get a ton of people. I would get so many leads, most of which weren't very good, but there were always some buyers that were scattered in there. But there's a ton of leads that you would get. And what we found is that like one of these real estate companies we're working with, which is a behemoth, they had thousands and thousands of thousands, like 100,000 plus old contacts from the last 2 or 3 years that they have not engaged with. They thought they were just pretty much dead leads. And so the first way we started working with them was just engaging with them for new projects they had, new developments they had. We would reach out and say, hey, are you interested in this property? And we were driving a lot of showings, conversations first with their sellers, and then showings at the property. So that was a big thing we did with them. Another real estate company, we created a newsletter for them. So we created a newsletter in their location where they're based with the people interested in buying real estate. It's already at over 70,000 people on that newsletter, where we're able to drive high engagement, high open rates, with the purpose of educating, engaging, creating thought leadership. But of course, the main goal is to find interested people that are looking to buy land from them so they can get in touch with for a conversation and hopefully a showing. So the goal for us is always to, how do we drive more conversations with the goal, of course, of driving more sales?
Can you give us an example of a company that you helped achieve some things? Maybe they hit some new goals or milestones because of your involvement.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything from, we had this startup, it's about 10, 12 employees. They earned over $1 million of new business from our customer, from our leads. They're more of a tech B2B type of company. One of the interesting ones, actually, just speaking on real estate, we helped someone start their Airbnb business. So they had an Airbnb business that they were just getting off the ground, and they had a few properties at first. Now, last we checked, they have dozens of Airbnbs, which they have listed, but they're also using us to do cold outreach to people in their area and also to markets that are typically travel to their location. So that's an interesting one. So those are just, you know, two little minor examples. But again, the whole goal is to drive meetings with the goal of driving more sales.
Yeah, that was a unique use case, because I understand, you know, I have a lot of Airbnb or short-term rental people on the show. And one of the hardest things to do now is to stand out on those platforms, because they've gotten so flooded. So to do some direct marketing, even cold email outreach to possible clientele, would help warm up that listing, like you mentioned, warming up those inboxes.
Yeah, and if you can avoid the Airbnb fees, I don't know anyone that's going to complain about that other than probably Airbnb.
Sure. No, what I was saying is you could even drive some traffic to your Airbnb listing, because it propagates just like a YouTube channel, right? It becomes self-perpetuating. What I also find interesting is you mentioned warming up your domain, or warming up that. So when you're sending, you're not falling into spam. I would also imagine that is part of AI. Google is getting smarter and smarter in detecting what was written by AI. And some of that's also going to be falling into spam.
100%. Like some of those buzzy spam or AI words, like I mentioned earlier, a supercharge. Anytime I ever see the word supercharge, I immediately know that came from AI. Because I don't know a single human that has ever said in a conversation, I'm going to supercharge anything. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm not talking to people that love to use the word supercharge. I've never personally heard it. So the second I see supercharge on a LinkedIn post, on a mailer, on an email, I know written by AI. So yes, words like that are going to be a higher likelihood that you end up in spam. Warming up inboxes. Like, we use a great tool called Instantly.ai. That's our email sending platform. They also warm up our emails. They do a great job. One of my favorite AI lead gen companies is a company called AnyBiz. They have a tool called Warmy that warms up inboxes as well. So that's very important. You mentioned copy. One of the things, again, we used to do in the old days of cold email, we would write one good piece of copy and we would press send. And as long as that email hit, we were good. Now that doesn't work anymore. We created spin tax on all of our emails. For anyone that's not familiar with what spin tax is, basically it will rewrite your email with slight nuance so that that same email can be written in 1,000 different ways. So very simple things like, instead of it, the email starting as Jack, it would start as Hi Jack or Hello Jack. And then it'll say that like slight nuance throughout the entire email. So one email that we send will look slightly different to 1,000 different recipients. The whole goal, of course, is how do we stay out of the spam filter? Because again, if Google starts to notice, hey, this person is sending the same email 1,000 different times, even if it's spaced out, even if you're only sending 20 or 30 emails a day, they're going to think this might be spam and they're going to stop you or send you into the spam inbox. So that's part of the stuff that I'm talking about, where look, if you don't do A through Z correctly, you really don't stand a chance. And I don't expect anybody that's not an expert in cold email to know what to do. We spend all day, every day in this. We've been doing cold email for over 10 years. And even stuff for us, it's changing overnight. So like, if you're not an expert, if you're not in this world, you really don't stand any chance.
Just to remind everybody, if you would like to learn more about what Adam is up to and if he can help you with your outbound campaign, go to eocworks.com. or book a meeting through his Calendly link. I'll make sure to have all of those links in the show notes. But Adam, before we jump into the rapid fire questions, is there a question or concept you think we should have covered here today?
I think the interesting thing probably for your audience is around use cases specifically for real estate. Because some people say, look, how can you use cold email? A lot of people in real estate will do mailers, and I like mailers. There are some great mailer tools like a company called Handwritten that we've used in the past that will handwrite mailers. And I think all that stuff is great. Like, one of my mentors in the business, he always talked about like, take a shotgun approach in marketing, like be in the local newspapers, you know, do radio ads, like do email, do mailers, do everything. And, you know, see what hits, of course, put up signs. All that stuff is important. But specifically, how can email help somebody that's interested in real estate? And like, one of the keys, I think, for anybody to leverage, anybody who's a real estate investor that's listening to this, there are ways where you could just reach out to local executives, local C-suite in your area. Why is it important to reach out to local C-suite? Well, there's just a chance that they probably have a higher net worth that you could then reach out to that might be able to afford your properties. Or if your properties are lower priced, you can reach out to maybe mid-level folks or whatever the title is. But you can find contacts online, whether it's for more generic people that work in the area, or if you want to get very specific of, I want to get the contacts for these people on this street or these specific homes, all that contact information exists. And now the key is, how do you find their email accounts? How do you send them a quality email? How do you send them high quality follow-ups to make sure that you can set up a phone call with them? But that's the key, is just for anybody in real estate, I feel like email is not used enough and not used well enough. Even putting AI to the side, I feel like email is one of the biggest opportunities in the real estate world that's just completely underused.
Well, Adam, this has been a fantastic conversation and you've really opened our eyes to quite a few things. Again, it is echoworks.com to learn more about what Adam and his team are up to. Or you can book that meeting through his Calendly link. But more importantly, take advantage of Adam's offer, adam@echoworks.com, for that prompt for ChatGPT to get you started on that front. But if you're ready, Adam, we'll jump into the rapid fire questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, first of all, what lie do real estate investors tell themselves and sometimes to others?
I'm going to stick to, you know, what I was just talking about there, that email does not work and email is not a way where email is not a tool that you can leverage for real estate.
Do you have a book recommendation or what are you reading right now?
Two separate things. I'll say one of my favorite books for anyone interested in entrepreneurship period, which obviously real estate falls under, is a book called Built to Sell. I believe everybody, I don't care if you're in real estate, tech, creating an accounting firm should build their company to sell it. So I would say that's the book I recommend. And then my current book I'm reading right now is a book called Atlas Shrugged. It's a behemoth. So it's I'm about a third of the way done. So hopefully I'll get that done the next month or so.
Yep. I finished that, was it last summer? So we probably could do a whole episode on that. Maybe a book study.
I love it. Let's do it. When I finish it, let's definitely do that. And maybe we should set that up so that it holds me accountable to make sure I do finish it.
Yeah, it is a behemoth of a book, but I think it does provide some perspective.
100%. I agree.
If you could go back in time and give yourself, your younger self, one piece of advice, what would that be?
Buy a lot of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think that could be the, or take advantage of GameStop when that was a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then I guess, you know, one of the other things is just double down, triple down, quadruple down who you are, what you love to do, and just being yourself. You can never please everybody. There's always going to be someone who doesn't like you, and that's okay. That's fine. But I would much rather lose being myself versus lose trying to be somebody else. So I would just say double down, triple down on who you are and what makes you special, because we're all uniquely qualified at least one thing. And I would just say go all in on that.
What single strategy, process, or tool have you implemented that has had the biggest time-saving impact?
Well, I would say for my team, I would say back it up a little bit. Building out processes is the best thing possible, because it makes it so that you as a business owner, business leader, know what to automate, what to delegate, and what just to straight up cut. And my first tech startup, I really struggled with that. With this company from the start, it's been a focus of, I want to take myself out of the weeds, but in order to do that, I have to build the systems to make sure we can do that. So like, just an example right now, we use this tool called Instantly. I mentioned them earlier. We have a team. My team is 9 people, including myself and my co-founder. But we only have 2 people that are managing our inboxes. We have over 1,300 inboxes we're managing for our customers. Only 2 people. But because we have really good systems, technology, and processes, they're able to follow that, where I could pay 2 people to manage all of those inboxes, all of those replies, all of those meetings. If we didn't build the processes and the systems and the tech, I'd have to pay so much more money for people to do it, and it would be way more of a headache for us.
Well, Adam, that's a great tip. Again, it is echoworks.com. Take advantage of what Adam is offering there, but it was great meeting you, and I hope we can chat again sometime.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have that Atlas Shrugged conversation.
Have you learned at least one actionable step to incorporate into your real estate investing? If so, please consider returning some of that value by leaving a positive review, subscribing to our YouTube channel, or joining our growing network on Facebook and Twitter. You can find links to all of our social media accounts in the show notes. See you next time.